Dan, how are you? Good afternoon. Do you want to join the discussion?
About moral line.
Yeah, your moral line. What is your moral line? Would you give up watching Woody Allen?
Would you listen to Roger Waters?
That's a tough one. Woody Allen, no. Roger Waters, also no. So I guess my borders are pretty flux, just like in Europe.
What about Bill Cosby?
I still chuckle.
that's honest and wonderful.
Okay. Jolly good.
But Canaan, we're going to talk about the French community 4 years after the Hippocache murders or massacre. I don't even know what we call it. I mean, massacre, that's what it was. What's the state of the community today? What's the finger on the pulse on the Jewish community in France?
I actually visited Paris for the commemoration, which was a couple of weeks ago. The attack happened on January 9th, 2015, to get exactly this answer. And in previous years, you had people gather around that supermarket on the eastern fringes of Paris to commemorate the four murdered there. And there was a feeling of hope for various reasons. Part of it was that right after the attack, a million people went down to the streets in Paris because of that attack and also the massacre at Charlie Hebdo, the satirical magazine.
Yes.
And there was this great mobilization of people marching through the streets saying, we're not going to take this anymore. But now, this year, this is just a few months after the advent of the Yellow Vests protest, the Gilets Jaunes. And in that protest, which is about a hike in fuel prices, there have been some very disconcerting expressions of anti-Semitism. And there is also rap songs going on celebrating the Gilets Jaunes with anti-Semitic contents. There are banners saying Macron is the prostitute of the Jews visible in these protests. So there's a feeling that this great promise from 4 years ago of change because of this tragedy is really not being delivered.
I struggle with France because France has quite a history of Jews being killed for being Jewish. I'm thinking back to Ilan Halimi. I'm thinking back to Sarah Halimi. The Hippocache was a result of a process that had been happening for some time. I mean, France really does have a
issue. What about the Dreyfus affair? I mean, if you really want to go back, let's go back to the Dreyfus affair.
Well, they just put him in jail. They didn't kill him for being a Jew.
Well, they exiled him and practically did.
Practically did. But after the Second World War, to think that Jews are being killed for being Jewish in Europe is just an unbelievable figure. What's happening with Aliyah from France, or immigration to Israel from France to Israel currently?
It's actually decreased, and that's part of this hopefulness that some people are interested in preserving French Jewry. We can have a different discussion whether we want that or not. So the people who are interested in keeping the chickens in the coop are being encouraged by the fact that there's a decrease of about 30%, and it reached record levels in previous years, 2017, 2016. There were 6,000, there were 7,000 people leaving. And those are just not any French Jews. Those are the people who belong to the core of the community. The people who are likeliest to leave are the people who go shop at kosher shops and take the burden of leading spiritual life at synagogue. And they are the ones that are the glue holding together inner circle, holding together French Jewry, really. So there still is this concern that their departure will have far-reaching consequences, far, far wider than their actual number at Shul.
If one was a religious Jew wearing a yarmulke in Paris, in France today, give me a sense of what it would feel like. Is one under threat?
At the Hippocache, I spoke to a guy called Simon Abergil, who is a Tunisian Jew. He was born there when he was a child in the 1950s, immigrated with his family, lived for many years very happily, And now he says he has to, a few years ago, he reached the conclusion that he has to hide his kippah for safety. So that went on for a while. And then he told me, and this really shocked me, he said, you know, nowadays it's not even enough. I put on a casket, but with my Jewish face, they see it in my eyes and I get still harassed. I'm still afraid. And when you reach that stage where, people are looking out on the street to see whether you're Jewish, which is, of course, for European Jews reminiscent of the 1930s and what came after. It's a very frightening atmosphere that really is not conducive to building a viable Jewish future.
And Klein, just because we're so very far removed from France, many of us don't know Paris as a city. A little bit of reading I've done seems to indicate that the whole lot of areas are worse than other areas. So there is an internal immigration within Paris of Jews moving from the mixed North African Jewish Muslim areas to other areas. Is that in fact what is happening?
There are certain pockets where Jewish community life can continue relatively unperturbed. Then again, Yper Kasher is...
Where was the
Yper Kasher? Sorry?
No, sorry, I interrupted. I wanted to ask, where was the Yper Kasher?
Right. So it's actually in one of those pockets, in a place called Saint-Mandé, a suburb right on the border of Paris, which is affluent and safe and has four synagogues within a radius of 500 meters. So with this... omnipresent jihadist threat, actually those fortresses, those Jewish fortresses that used to be safe spaces from street harassment have become targets for jihadists. So it's not very safe. It is relatively safe in terms of crime statistics, but the feeling of people on the street also in those enclaves is not a safe one.
Fascinating. And it has real effects on real people. So I was offered an opportunity of going to Paris last year and I turned it down because I have a very Jewish face and I didn't want to feel threatened.
Do you?
I do. I've been spotted all over the world, Yahud, 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 many, many times. So I don't want to put myself through it. Why go through that when you don't need to? I don't know if somebody's going to be angry enough to want to do some real damage.
Canaan, Germany, I remember a few years ago, Germany had the fastest growing Jewish community. I think that they had about 200,000 Jews. Where's it today?
Actually, there are two contingents to that community in Germany. Mm-hmm. Most of them are Russian speakers. They speak Russian at home because they came. There are about 300,000 Jews in Germany, okay, according to estimates, and 200,000 of them came after the collapse of the Soviet Union. They have very radically different approaches to democracy, to life, to even Jewish culture. So it's very interesting to see how that community has been able to kind of close its ranks and reunify, reconsolidate over the past 30 years. And it's been a success. That said, the rise of Islamism in Germany is increasing tensions inside that community because the Russian ones tend to be more strict and less apprehensive about the AfD, the deep right party of Germany, whereas the Yekke ones, the German ones whose relatives survived the Holocaust, see this as an abomination. How can you even think in terms of right-wing politics? It's unthinkable for a German Jew. So there's this tension growing in direct proportion to Angela Merkel's very generous policy of open doors toward Muslim, Arab, and African immigrants.
Canaan Lipschitz, that is where we leave it this week. Thank you very, very much. It's always interesting to speak to you, and you have tremendous insight, and thank you very much for sharing it with us. And we look forward to reading more of your articles, jta.org. Thank you.